from the palatial Pride 48 studios overlooking the universe, it's time for DI Plus to come screaming at you through Tay Interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time is where you are. We're glad you've joined us today. DI Plus is brought to you by Rocket Brand Studios, makers of the RocketBot Arduino, the RocketBot Pickaxe, and the Wii Camera Adapter. Adapter? I don't know. I didn't write this copy. And unlike every other week, this is actually really a real deal. So go over to rocketbrandstudios.com and check out all the cool little mini robots and iPod holders that my friend Chris Carpenter's made. And make sure you tell him that we sent you. Welcome to Dubious Intent Plus. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined from the fine state of Arkansas by the one and the only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
Hello.
Oh, no, don't even try.
Hello.
Yes, a little bit more, you know, oomph, a little bit more something or other. I don't care, something. We're dying here.
Well, yeah, I don't even know what to say. I'm a little bit flustered, and I'm trying not to start every show the same way, you know, by saying, oh my God, I'm technically not there and everything, but I'm just having issues as usual. But I'm happy. I'm in a great mood. It's
well,
great.
I'm glad that you're in a great mood.
Just to you know, talk about technology just a little bit before we get to the technology section. So I've got a shitty laptop that's like 2 years old, a shitty net top that was supposed to only be used to like broadcast Netflix and things on my television, and an okay desktop. But the problem is getting all three of them to work together at one time. And my batteries went dead in my mouse for my net top, and my laptop overheats. So
you know what? You're just trying to get too fancy here. It's your big fancy camera that's coming in through Firewire or USB or something that's overheating the machines. If you just went to the built-in cheap camera on the laptop would probably be fine. But that's neither here nor there.
Well, no, because actually the camera is not broadcasting from the laptop at the moment. I'm not getting fancy at all. Nothing works completely well. I've always had this problem. You know, the audio, the mic jack on my laptop was broken because someone yanked a cord out accidentally in drunken stupor a couple of years ago. And so anytime I wanted to use that with a microphone or anything, I had to use this extra sound card that went in that little slot in the side. And then, like, you know, I've always had jacked up, like, janky, like I had to like cross my fingers just right to get anything to work. And of course I want to do all this stuff, you know, which I need like three supercomputers from like IBM.
Actually, no, you just need one computer. You need one decent computer, period.
Well, that's true, but well, not really, because the whole two sound cards in one computer thing for me doesn't work because I always get weird hums and shit. So like Skype running or Google Hangout or whatever and trying to get that back into Audacity, it always causes noise issues. So I need to come
that's
from a second computer.
That's because because in the past you've been using USB. I have two PCI sound cards in my machine. So just two Sound Blaster PCI sound cards in my machine.
So are you using one machine total?
Yes, that's all I have.
Okay. Well, anyway, I've got a laptop, a net top, an iPad, and a computer.
You can still use the iPad for effects and, you know, for music and clips and stuff like that. That's fine.
But anyway, we have bored people enough, or I have bored people enough with my technical issues. Next week, I will not have any technical issues one way or the other.
Right.
If I have to throw everything out the window and just go stand on the street corner to get a new machine, I will. Well, anyway, I was going to talk about, I was going to give a dating update. And we don't have a theme.
Endless saga of Adam's dating life.
Well, and you know, I wasn't even gonna, because I keep saying that I'm not gonna date and all that, and I really didn't plan on talking about dating, but I have to bring this up because, okay, I was talking to this guy on Grindr.
Yes.
And we've been talking for like 3 weeks. First of all, he's from Atlanta, so he doesn't live here.
Is his name George?
His name is not George. No.
Oh, so it's not George.
No. But so he's from Atlanta and he comes here during the week. And I don't know how long that's going to last or anything like that. But we had gotten to talking and whatever. And he said he wanted to meet me. And so finally I was like, okay, whatever, you can come over here and I'll cook or whatever. And so the night before, I get on Grindr or we message each other on the phone. I don't remember what it was. And we start to talking and he says something along the lines of, you know, I'm really excited to meet you and everything. I'm surprised because you're a lot older than I usually go for. And I'm like, I didn't even know what to say. I'm like, well, I'm not that old. What are you talking about? You know, I'm like, I'm only 33. And his Grindr profile said he was 27. I'm like, I'm only 33. What are you talking about? And so he goes on and on about this, about how, oh, I normally go for 18 to 22 year olds and all of this stuff, you know, and, you know, but I think you're pretty hot, you know. And let me just another aside here. Let me just say, I do not like the word pretty in yes. front of another descriptor. Pretty hot, pretty cute,
pretty
whatever.
Pretty lame.
Because it means, well, you're not hot, you're pretty hot. Or it could mean you're hot for 33, you know, something like that. So you had to put that in front of it. And on the top of everything else, he's like going into detail about how he really is surprised that he's into me at all because he's normally into 18 to 22 year olds. Then he reveals that...
sharp instrument.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to find something to slip my wrist with.
And then to top it all off, right, he says, and normally to get these 18 to 22 year olds to sleep with me or whatever, I don't put my correct age on Grindr. So he had put that he was 27 and he's really 32. He's a 32 year old calling a 33 year old too fucking old. I was so pissed off. I mean, I don't know whether it was me being too sensitive or him being an ass, but or both. I was going to say,
I think it's a little of both.
I'm not even sure at this point. And then after we get through that whole ordeal and I'm thinking we're going to have a nice date, I'm going to cook dinner, all this stuff. The next thing out of his mouth or from his keyboard is, do you like to lick ass? I was done. I was just done. I was done because, yes, I'm a slutty individual, but I thought I was going to actually have a date. I'm too old for him. He lies about his age and his profiles. And the first thing on his mind is whether or not I lick ass. I told him I had a phone call. I didn't speak to him for the rest of the night. I called George in Atlanta, Wes.
Yes.
Said
yes.
George.
No, George.
And I talked
Atlanta.
To Wes
yes.
for like an hour. And then I messaged the guy the next morning and I said, you know, no offense, but I can't go out on a date with you because no matter what you say now, the whole time I'm going to be thinking I'm not your type. Not only that, but I don't like people who lie about things. I really don't like that. You and I have had that discussion before because with podcasting, we prefer it when people tell the truth on their podcasts. Well, I'm the same way, yes. like in real life, like profiles and stuff. Please do not put the wrong age or things of that nature. Please just be honest.
All right, fine. I'm 52. Jesus Christ.
Whatever. So that is my dating. So again, I thought I was going to have a nice date, you know, and all these people turn out to be wackos. I mean, it can't be me.
Okay. All right. The definition of insanity is repeating the same exact actions and expecting a different outcome.
Are you saying that
perhaps here's just a wild suggestion. I'm just going to toss this out here. You know, I don't like to talk about it, but I do have a degree in psychology. Perhaps Grindr isn't the best. Yes, exactly. I used to be a bartender. Anymore. So perhaps Grindr isn't the best place to find people to date. Perhaps Grindr excels at finding people for which to have casual sex with, or people to hang out with, or people to play parcheesi with. But Grindr is just not conducive to long-term dating or just dating in general.
Well, the problem with that, okay, there are two things wrong with that. A, I'm in Arkansas now, which other than maybe a gay bar, there aren't many places to meet gay people because a lot of people in the southern Bible Belty type states that aren't big, huge cities like Dallas, a lot of people are in the closet and aren't just openly gay just at the mall or wherever you might normally meet someone. And I don't go to bars. So it's like your only other choice is like gay hookup type services, right? And the other thing is I do hook up. So I am on those sites occasionally looking for, you know, a little something something. And sometimes I happen to meet someone who I think might be a good candidate for a date.
Do you not have any kind of gay and lesbian group at Walmart?
Yeah, but I'm, see, that's another thing. I'm not completely open and out.
Oh, you hate people that lie, but you're not completely.
I don't lie. I don't say that I'm straight. I don't tell people.
But no, but isn't, all right, if there is some kind of gay group at Walmart, then it's more than likely it's going to be the gay and straight alliance kind of a group thing like that. The point is, you don't have to date anybody that works there, but those people have friends, and that's a much better way to find someone to date, is to make friends with people, and then they introduce you to people who they think you might be compatible with.
True. Well, anyway, so that's just, I either will have to just not date, which is what I said a few episodes ago, I believe, or I guess I am just really going to have to assume that everyone on Grindr is crazy and
not necessarily crazy, but they're there for a purpose. And as long as you understand that purpose, then it's perfectly fine. But you're trying to force round pegs into square holes,
so to
basically
speak.
Yes.
Well, I didn't put this on the list, but there was one other thing I wanted to mention quickly.
Yes.
I didn't think I was going to be able to, because I didn't think I was going to have it. But I used to love Mariah Carey. And instead of working, I had this binge session of looking up every Mariah Carey video that I possibly could find on YouTube and listening to them, because I sometimes cannot get enough of Mariah Carey. Kind of like Mark on Cocktails and Cream Puffs. But anyway, that's another reason why I think he and I would be great for each other, even though he has a boyfriend right now. But I had always said, because I love her high pitch notes, which, you know, you either love them or hate them, but I loved them because I'm a trumpet player and I like high notes. And I had always said, if there was a man who could sing that way, I would, that's it. He would be my husband forever. I would come every time that he sang that way, et cetera, et cetera.
Have you met Adam Lambert?
It's not Adam Lambert. Who's Adam Lambert?
He can sing that high.
Well, there's this guy named Adam Lopez.
No. Adam Lambert.
Well,
sometimes also referred to as Adam Glambert.
Well, I don't know who that is.
I'm sorry. I'm a little behind here, but just because you were talking about trumpets, I had to like dig this out.
Is that going to be the background music for us talking?
Right. Yeah, we'll just let Chuck Mangione there just play in the background. Yes.
But anyway, so
which
I'd always say,
I'm sure you're aware, is technically not a trumpet. It is a flugelhorn.
Yes.
But that's neither. Yes. Okay.
I didn't know if he ever played a trumpet, but I knew that he was mostly known for flugelhorn. But anyway, and I own a flugelhorn. But that's an aside. So I'd always said, if I could find a man who could sing like that, that's it. I would. He could do that while we were having sex. It would be perfect. Well, I was doing these YouTube searches, and I don't know who Adam Lambert is. I'm sorry. But there's a guy named Adam Lopez who's either Australian or from New Zealand. I don't know which one. But he has the Guinness World Record for the highest male note. And it's actually higher than the piano. It's one step higher than the piano goes. Well, anyway, I found a song on YouTube of him singing a Mariah Carey song. So I just wanted to play a little clip of this. I know everything I do, you always roll your eyes and stuff, but I'm going to play a little clip of this.
You can't see my video tonight, so
I am actually seeing your video. I don't know how, but somehow I'm seeing it. So I'm just crossing my fingers. But we're gonna play a little bit of this, and I don't know where it's starting because this is YouTube, but you just have to give it a little bit for him to get to the high stuff, but I love this song too.
I feel good, I feel nice. I never felt so satisfied. I'm in love, I'm alive. Intoxicated, lying eyes.
He sounded a little too straight man there
like
on that
a dream
part though.
When your love be tenderly.
Okay, well, let's just, I concede that the man, there you go. Something just broke back here.
What?
Some kind of glass just shattered back here after that thing. No, you've got the music channel going louder to the aux port than your microphone, so therefore I can't hear you over the music, is what I was trying to.
Well, I'm turning the music down.
Okay, good.
Well, what we were discussing earlier is the fact that evidently I have multiple aux volumes and not just one.
Right,
and
right. That's fine.
But anyway,
so can we lose Smokey Robinson there, or whatever the fuck his name is?
Well, there's one other high part. I just want to turn it up just for one more. I love this. I love this, okay? It's just, it's the last one. I'll turn it off, I swear. Okay, here we go. Okay, I'll stop it. But if anybody, I mean, I could listen to that like five times, but I won't. But if anybody likes whistle tones and likes cute men, then he is also cute. So look for Adam Lopez. And if I haven't snatched him up first, then...
Right.
That's it. That's all, right. All I had.
All right. Well, that's fine. Do you see this?
I don't know. It looks like an iPad stand.
It is not an iPad stand. It is actually for my phone. My friend Chris the Carpenter over at Rocket Brand Studios made this for me. And see how it sits my little Evo right there on my desk?
Very nice. So, it's for those not watching the video.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's hard to describe.
It's a clear acrylic
plexiglass
looking stand for a phone with little feet on it. It looks like you can angle it at different angles.
Yes, you can. So, like on my Evo, when I watch YouTube videos or Netflix or whatever, now I can sit on my desk and it can be at the proper viewing angle. I mean, the Evo actually itself has a kickstand with it on the back, but it's far from stable. So, like, you know, that was the big thing with the Evos. It had a kickstand on the back so that the phone, but that's only at a single angle. And if you don't put it on a perfectly flat surface, it will tip over. So he makes these for his little robots. And so I was just like, I want one for my desk. And so he made this for my desk. So you can find it at his website, rockabrandstudios.com. So,
is that why you said they're our sponsor?
Yes, because I got a free phone stand.
Isn't that called payola plugola or something like that in the radio business?
You know what? Chris the Carpenter and his wife, Carrie, used to do a show called The Lifted Lorax Show that I was on 100 times back when I used to do political podcasts, because they also did a political podcast. They live up in Cape Cod, and I'm going to be moving up in that area, so I'll finally actually get to meet Chris face-to-face. We've known each other for like 2 or 3 years. So
what, are you just getting them ready for, you know, when you have to go over there to like borrow eggs and milk and other things? You're just like, just start giving me shit now, you know?
Well, no, it's like a 3-hour drive, so that would be a long way to go to get eggs.
Well, sometimes you really need an egg.
Sometimes you, in fact, do. All right, move on.
I hate it that you do that, too. So you didn't have anything about
you. You know
what?
Is there anything about me that you do like, Adam?
Is there anything about me?
Because apparently you just hate everything about
me. Is there anything about me that you like? That's the question.
It's the tech segment with the intro music done on a Commodore 64.
It's actually the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire theme song. But I really like it, okay? So our technology segment.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, our technology segment. So what we were going to talk about is Google Chrome Desktop.
Yes.
And I downloaded it on 2 different computers. This may be a short segment. I hope you have lots of things to say about it, because first of all, what I found out in my musings, or whatever we want to say, is that it only works if the other person is sitting at the other computer currently. So in its current iteration, you can't like be at work and like remote into your computer at home, because there's no one sitting there to generate the little code. So basically, for people who haven't used it, you have to have it downloaded in Chrome. You have to have Chrome browser, and you have to have it downloaded, this plugin downloaded on both computers. And so what you do is, the person who's wanting to share their screen has to open up the Chrome app and click on share, and it generates this code. They give this code to the other person, who then clicks on, opens the plugin in their Chrome browser and clicks on remote into a computer, whatever the button says, I can't remember. And then they put in the code, and then it makes a connection. Well, my experience was it was very slow. In fact, I timed it, and literally from the time, why do people say literally? I don't know. But anyway, from the time that I clicked on a button.
Figuratively, from the time you clicked on a button.
Until it responded was a minute or more.
Wow.
And that was on my work network. And I also tried it here at home with being on the same network, and it was still almost as slow. So I didn't have much luck with it all. In fact, in order to get, when I was at work, in order to get it to work, I had to use Live Mesh to remote into the computer to generate the code.
Yeah, no, it is definitely a use case scenario, right? I mean, this works really well. All right, so I'll give you an example. My brother does work at my sister-in-law's office. So he does the minor accounting stuff and whatever for her. And he's always having computer problems. He's always having something or another that he doesn't understand or blah, blah, blah. And prior to all of this, my choices are, you know, for them to have go to my PC so that I can remote into their machine with go to my PC, but that costs $10 a month per machine. Possibly Microsoft Mesh, although that means that I would have to leave my username, I would have to leave my sign in for for my Microsoft Live account on their machine, which is less than ideal. So this works really well in that scenario. So he calls me, he's got a problem. I'm like, okay, generate a code for me. And then I get in there. There's no monthly fee. There's no whatever. I can poke around on his machine. You know, I've got his desktop in my browser and I can check what I need to check. It doesn't have to be lightning fast, blah, blah, blah. And so in that particular use case scenario, that works for me. It works really well. For a company that does remote support, you know, that has to support different people in different offices that may not be near them or whatever, I could see that this would work really well for that too. Because there's a very low overhead to it, right? You don't have to have a go to my PC account and have a certain number of computers licensed to it or whatever. It's just, if, as long as they're running Chrome, they can download this extension and generate a code for you. So,
well, did you have the same slowness like I'm talking about that was like a minute between doing something and seeing it?
No, I did not.
See, I don't know why that was, because Mesh was like lightning fast. I mean, almost as soon as I clicked and did something, I was seeing a response. It was almost like I was sitting at that computer.
And Mesh is, you know, solves another issue, right? I mean, Mesh is more for, you want to be able to get into a machine remotely at any time. So that's more something that you do for your own machines, right? So if you're at work, you can have Mesh running on your home machine so that if you forgot something on your home machine or you wanted to do something on your home machine outside of the network traffic at your office, then Mesh works really well for that as a free product. And, you know, you wouldn't use the Google Chrome desktop feature for that. But that all leads into what I just put on the list. So there you go. I say it works well for that one case scenario. Yes, it's slow because it's going through a browser, but that's the that's the trade-off that you pay for a very simplified thing. So when you have people who are not tech savvy, it's very easy to walk them through installing this plugin and clicking a button and giving you a code. So that's very easy to walk someone through.
I will say, though, that Mesh is also in a browser and was much faster. And Mesh works really well for being able to view my Google Plus from work without having to worry about penises. Because,
and that's what I wanted to talk about, was there's been a couple of discussions on Google Plus about work safe things. And you actually were asking a question the other day about remoting into your machine at home and whether that's work safe or not. And I just wanted to kind of cover this briefly because I don't think a lot of people really understand the difference between the different kinds of connections that you have on the internet. All right. So there's two basic connections that you have with a website, right? You have either a standard HTTP connection, which would be like Twitter, or if you went to any blog or whatever that you were going to go to on the internet and read, those are just wide open, right? Those are just regular connections that you make to other, there's no kind of signing in, there's no kind of, handshaking other than just the bare minimum between those machines. And that's the kind of traffic that can be viewed by companies, right? So your IT department at your office could trap all those packets or sniff all those packets or go through and flag it when someone's using a web address that's in some domain that they're not too pleased with or whatever. That all happens through HTTP traffic. So traffic that goes over just the standard internet. The second kind of connection that you have on the internet is called a secured connection, and that's any address that starts with HTTPS. And what that is that is a encrypted secure connection between your browser and whatever site that you're on, meaning that anywhere between those two points is completely encrypted blobs of data that no one could tell what it was.
Now,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. I do have a question about that. I have heard On Security Now, occasionally, Steve has said that there are scenarios where a company could possibly have a man-in-the-middle sort of solution, even yes. for HTTPS.
Yes, but this is what has to happen for that to work, okay? And it's all because this is an established protocol. So anytime that you're on a secure connection, most modern browsers will display a little padlock or some other little symbol up near the address that you can click on to actually see the certificate that's being used. So you can see where the encrypted traffic is coming from and your machine that's decrypting it. Inside of that information box, there is a section that will show you the certification path. And what that means is that it's coming, it's being encrypted by someone, which then it could go through multiple different layers of de-encryption and re-encryption until it gets down to your browser. So if there's nothing if there's nothing between the site and your browser, then it's a direct encrypted connection. A company could install what's known as a root certificate on their own internal domain, which decrypts traffic at the domain level, which is what you're talking about. And that's a certificate that sits between your machine and the site that you're connecting to. But it has to be accepted by your browser. So the only real way that they can do that is on a machine that they completely control, that they've installed a certificate on. So if you're using your iPhone or your Android phone or an iPad or anything going through like the company Wi-Fi, they can't install that certificate on your phone without you explicitly installing it. Okay. So it would be a direct connection between you and them. So it is a way that they can get around it, but they have to jump through a lot of hoops to do it. So it's only on machines that they control, because they would not be able to install that certificate on your personal iPad, Android, iPhone, laptop, anything of that nature.
So basically what we need to do is just make sure that whatever porn site we're visiting while at work is HTTPS.
Correct.
And before you do that, though, check the certificate to make sure you don't have a work certificate in between. But if
actually, the work certificate, the work decryption certificate is global. So that means just go to your banking site, which is always HTTPS, and check the certification path there, because you will see a certificate that has your work domain name in it. That would be the tip-off that they have something in place to decrypt the traffic. So don't go to a porn site and check it there. Go to some other encrypted site like Gmail or Google+ or anything like that, and you can check it. And if there is no certificate from them, then it is completely encrypted traffic, which means even though they can see the packets coming across, those packets are complete gibberish to them. They couldn't tell what's in there. They couldn't tell the web addresses in there. They couldn't tell whether it's pictures or whether it's text or whether it's, you know, nuclear plans. It's completely encrypted, 128-bit AES encryption.
Well, so it is. So let's just state this, though, because the reason that we were having this conversation is because there were people that were viewing things on Google+. And by the way, I didn't even think about Google+ being HTTPS. I hadn't even looked at that. So I see the Hangout is, so I'm assuming Google+ is. But there were people asking the question because certain people that they were following were putting up pictures in their stream. And a lot of people, and my first thought was, oh, I'll get one of those plugins that just removes stuff from, you know, from my stream, because that way when I'm at work. But then I thought about that and I thought, no, what that's doing is that is getting rid of it once it's already come across. So if my company is able to sniff the traffic, then they're still seeing what I'm getting. And again, this was not thinking about the HTTPS stuff. Right. So if you are at a company that for some reason does have the sort of man in the middle, they are using their own certificate, and you find that out, and you're using a work computer and you want to be able to see Google+ or something like that, the other method would be, no, you couldn't do this because it'd be on a work computer. I was going to say use Mesh, but never mind.
Yeah, so Mesh is encrypted as well, but it's the same thing there. That once that certificate is inside the chain of certificates from that machine, it can always be decrypted by them.
So basically, I'm using my personal laptop, so I should be fine on any
HTTPS
site. You
should be absolutely fine. Right. And so the thing that I did want to point out, which I posted all this on Google+, if you want to go look at it, but the thing that I did point out is, you know, even though the traffic is being encrypted, right, people can still walk up behind you and see stuff. So it's not completely safe to sit there and watch porn at work, because there's people around that can see your screen. But using a plugin that removes things from your stream, so people from a certain circle that takes them out of your stream, is completely sufficient for what you're trying to do, because it doesn't matter that the traffic's already come across, they wouldn't be able to see the traffic anyway. So
Well, and you know, you and I had that discussion, and you had said that if you unfollow the guy, that you can still, as long as they're following you, that you can click in stream or incoming or whatever it is.
Yes.
And he evidently unfollowed me at some point.
Oh.
So now
what I would have done is I would have uncircled him and then immediately posted a message to him basically saying, I uncircled you, but only because I can't view this stuff at work, and I'm still, so please don't uncircle me. I'm still interested in looking at your stuff. I just can't see it on my main machine. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. I'm sure that someone will give you his name.
He posted some really hot stuff. Well, I know who he's in circles of, so I can probably look somehow you do. And
all right, can you play us out of the tech segment now? Because we've bored everybody.
This has been the technology segment with Daniel Brewer and Adam Burns.
Right, so
just let rain. Some stay dry and so others now, feel the pain.
So now
rain.
What we're gonna do is, are you gonna stop it?
Stay Zonde. Come on.
So now what we're going to do is we're going to go into our television segment. So I like this one.
I like the Chewbacca there at the end. That was nice.
So here's what we're going to do. So I sent you a list, and I think what we'll do, I will quickly read this
Jesus Christ. There's 54 shows on
this
list.
It's a long list, but what we're going to do, we're not going to go down each list. What I want you to do is I want you to pick out 5 shows that you think will get canceled and 5 shows that you think will not get canceled. And then we're going to get points for whether they're canceled or not, basically.
Okay, so how do I denote who I think is going to get canceled and who I think will not get canceled?
We're going to go back and forth so that we have turns. That's how we're going to assign it. And then on the spreadsheet, I'm going to put our names.
Okay.
But so I'm just going to quickly go through. We have Body of Proof, Pan Am, Private Practice, Man Up, Castle, Revenge, The Middle, Happy Endings, Suburgatory, Last Man Standing, Grey's Anatomy, Once Upon a Time, Modern Family.
You just said you weren't going to go through them all, and now you're going through them all.
Quickly. CSI New York, Blue Bloods, The Good Wife, CSI Miami, Unforgettable, The Mentalist, Person of Interest, CSI. Wow, this is a long list. Never mind. I'm not going to go through the whole thing.
Hawaii, 5 NCIS, Lua, Rules of Engagement, Criminal Minds, NCIS, Mike and Molly, Two Broke Girls, 2.5 Men, Nikita, Gossip Girl, Haunter of Dixie, Supernatural, 90210, Ringer, Secret Circle, Vampire Diaries, Fringe, Terranova, Raising Hope, House, Glee, Bones, New Girl, Harry's Law, Prime Suspect, Community, Parks and Rec, Parenthood, Law and Order, SVU, Up All Night, Whitney, and The Office.
Okay, and the rule is, I think we're going to do cancel first, and we're going to each get our 5 for cancel, and then we're going to do not cancel. And the rule is, if someone has already chosen it, you can't choose it for that category. But let's say I said I think Pan Am is going to get canceled. You think it's going to not get canceled. You can have it on your other list. You just can't say it's going to be canceled as well.
So how many are we picking to be
5
canceled?
5. So right. You go first.
I'll go first. That stupid one. A Gifted Man.
A Gifted Man. So Daniel says A Gifted Man is going to get canceled. All right. So I'm going to say I think that Unforgettable is going to get canceled.
Now, is Unforgettable, is that the one with Christian Slater?
I don't know, but it sounds stupid, so I think it's going to get canceled.
Yeah, I would just like to point out, of these 54 shows, I've maybe seen 10 of them.
Well, I am going to give you a clue. I'm going to tell everyone a clue. If you really want to know what's going to be canceled or renewed and have a really good idea as you're watching throughout the season, go to tvbythenumbers.com. And it's a blog, and they have a link at the top that says Renew Cancel. And it has a list of all of the shows for each major network.
So you've already seen it?
No, I have not. I have not looked at I have not looked at their predictions.
All right, fine. Terra Nova is going to be canceled because science fiction never does well.
Okay, so I'm going to put you for Terra Nova. I can't find it.
Number 40.
Okay. Actually, it's shared. You could probably put yourself for that.
I could.
But I did it. Okay, I'm going to say that... I'm going to say that Revenge is going to get canceled.
Okay. Two Broke Girls is going to be canceled.
Okay. I'll let you put that in. body of proof, as much as I hate that it will, but it is. Go ahead.
Once Upon a Time is going to be canceled.
All right. What are we at? Wait, were we at three?
That's
apiece
four.
Now?
That's four for me, three for you.
Okay. I'm going to say that I'm staying towards the top of the list for some reason. I'm going to say Man Up is going to get canceled.
Never even heard.
It's got Tim Allen. I haven't
seen it. Oh, all right. All right. And then so my fifth one is going to be Harry's Law.
Oh, you're going to be correct on that one. Have I done a fifth one yet?
No, you need to do a fifth one.
All right. I'm going to say New Girl.
Okay. All right. So now we have to pick five that are not going to be canceled?
Yes.
All right. Then just put those in column C. So I'm just going to go for the low-hanging fruit then. You know, Modern Family will not be canceled.
All right. I'm going to say Grey's Anatomy will not be canceled.
Ooh, that thing's been on for like 25 years. You sure about that?
I'm sure.
Sadly, and I don't understand why anyone even watches this fucking show, but 2.5 Men will not be canceled.
Yeah, and I don't know why it's actually doing pretty well. And
I do not get that. It makes me sad that people watch that show.
I'm going to say NCIS will not be canceled, and I'm an old man. I love that show. Go ahead.
All right. I'm going for Fringe because I love Fringe.
All right. Bones.
Oh, I like Bones. And just following that up, I'm going to go for Raising Hope, which I love. So
I don't like that one. I'm going to say Terra Nova is not going to be canceled.
Really?
Really?
Well, and in that case, then I'm going to say that Man Up. Is that the one with Tim Allen?
Yes.
I thought his was like some kind of family thing.
I think it's called Man Up. I hope I'm not telling you wrong.
I thought it was called like something else. Anyway, no, then I'm not going to do it. Let's see what else is not going to get canceled. How many have I done? 2, 3, 4. All right, good. This is the last one. Glee will not cancel.
Okay, and I'm going to say Criminal Minds. So is that five apiece?
That's five apiece. This was exciting.
Was it? Shut up. I think.
All right. So just to recap here, you say, well, so we collectively are predicting that the following shows will be canceled: Body of Proof, Man Up, if that is its name, Revenge, Once Upon a Time, A Gifted Man, Unforgettable, Two Broke Girls, Terra Nova, New Girl, and Harry's Law. And then we are predicting that the following shows will be renewed. Bones, Glee, Raising Hope, Terra Nova, Fringe, 2.5 Men, NCIS, Criminal Minds, Modern Family, and Grey's Anatomy.
Yes. So what we'll do is we'll follow those. And actually, but my tip is if ever, anyone who's interested, or if you don't like to watch shows who you think are, and then the next season they're canceled or whatever, TV right. by the numbers is very accurate normally very in their accurate. Predictions. So okay. Anyway, that's our TV segment for this week. Alrighty. So, moving right along.
The news.
I was wondering if you were going to say that because I can't see you at the moment. I'm like trying to pull up stories here. Sorry, I'm clicking on links as we speak. So, maybe fools rush in, but one group of Elvises rushed out. According to the UK's Mirror newspaper, a hotel fire alarm sent a group of costume party attendees running for the exit after a smoke machine malfunction apparently triggered the alert. The newspaper said about 60 people dressed in Elvis costumes were dancing at an event for a cancer charity in Rochester, Kent on Saturday night when the alarm rang out. One guest at the Holiday Inn said the fire alert was surprising enough without encountering a gaggle of Elvises in the parking lot.
No, I don't know that you would call them a gaggle of Elvises. I mean, it's a gaggle of geese, a murder of crows, a pride of lion, a pod of whales, a parliament of owls. But I'm not entirely sure what you would call a large grouping of Elvises.
Wow. How do
you... Perhaps, you know, like a... What?
Just off the top of your head, how did you know all of the pluralizations of all of those different, or whatever the case may be, the grouping
Because those were of interest to me. I can also do all the states alphabetically. Would you like to hear that?
No, thank you. A parliament of owls?
What would you call... Yes, a parliament of owls. What would you call a grouping of Elvises? I'm just going to say a spangle of Elvises.
I want to say a spangle of Elvi.
A spangle of Elvi went running out of a smoke filled. But really, do we need any more than that? No.
No, that's probably it. People are smart. That's it.
Okay. Now,
we see just how smart they are every day on nearly any given YouTube video. Today's genius is a 21-year-old man who made a bet with friends for $100 that involved lubing himself up with laundry detergent and sliding into a child's swing at a Blue Rock Springs park in Vallejo, reports Times Herald. The groundkeeper of the park arrived to work Saturday morning, where he and police discovered the man screaming and stuck in the swing, where he'd been for about 9 hours. Evidently, his friends took off and left him there. Nice friends.
Was he naked?
It doesn't say whether he was naked or not. It just says the Vallejo firefighters were called in to rescue the man and used cast cutters to free him. No word on whether the man collected on the bet.
Was he dressed like Elvis?
I don't think so.
I'm going to loop myself up here. I'm going to get through this tire.
Okay, and oh, wow, I just clipped. And a not-so-funny story, but I just find these interesting. Falling bonuses could not be coming at a worse time for investment bankers. It is going to make it that much harder to buy a $75,000 yurt for Christmas.
Damn it!
A luxury version of the tent more associated with Mongol nomads than Wall Street dealmakers is one of the fantasy gifts in the 2011 Neiman Marcus Christmas book. At 18 feet in diameter, the hand-painted yurt is the ideal simulation of a genie's posh bottle, the catalog says. The portable structure includes one-of-a-kind designer down-filled pillows and a crystal chandelier. Not interested in nomadic outdoor living? How about a $125,000 custom-built library from luxury book publisher, I can't say that, Asseline?
Sure, Asseline.
It has custom carpeting, objects d'art, and framed prints, as well as 250 current or vintage books of the customer's choice. For those with a bit more to spend, there is a $420,000 international flower show tour arranged by Jetway Private Air. The tour for 10 people begins at the Tulip Festival in somewhere in Switzerland and makes stops at the Something Flower Show in Athens, the Altera Rose Festival in Avignon, France, and the Chelsea Flower Show in London. Anyway, it just goes on to talk
so
about
it. So that's only that only works out to $42,000 a person.
Well, so that's just this yurt. I didn't read the entire story when I was looking them up. And actually, if you look at the pictures that they've got of it, it actually does look very similar to the interior shots of Genie's bottle.
Well, there you go. Show. Well, great.
So anyway, for those of you who didn't know, if you're ever interested, Neiman Marcus puts out a fantasy catalog for those who are wealthy, and you can go over to their website and look up all the luxurious gifts that they have. I always find it interesting. Okay, you have a birthday theme song because I don't. It's your birthday.
As much as we use that, I probably should just spend the 99 cents and buy the song instead of just playing the preview on Amazon Music.
So you may not get any of these because some of the first couple at least are maybe obscure. And the first one, I don't know if you would even know this person, but I'm going to do it anyway. So let's see. Here we go.
May I have your attention, please?
Oh, that's Eminem.
It is. Very good. Eminem turned 39.
Oh, he's old.
And I like that song. Okay, but I won't.
He's old, but you know, it's a fun note. When Eminem is trolling Grindr, he likes to tell people he's 27.
I think he you know what? He's kind of cute. I'm not going to lie. And I know some people think he's homophobic, but he's cute anyway.
Wait, now isn't saying he's kind of cute the same as saying he's pretty cute?
Yes. He's cute for a 39-year-old. Okay.
Oh, yeah, again with the conditionals.
Right. Here's the next one. Anyway, he turned 39. Happy birthday, Eminem.
Somebody from Cheers.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got.
So it's Sam. So Ted Danson.
No.
Diane.
The fat one.
Norm.
Yes, George Wendt.
Yes.
Anyway, George Wendt turned 63.
63.
Now, we'll see how much of a trumpet player you actually are.
Uh-oh.
Here we go.
That sounds to me like the frog-cheeked stylings of Dizzy Gillespie.
No, it's actually it was Dizzy Gillespie's birthday, except that he's dead, but that's not who this is. It's Wynton Marsalis. And And Wynton mostly does jazz nowadays. This is from an album that he made, I believe, when he was 18 or 19 years old. But the album's called Carnival, and he turned 50. So happy birthday, Wynton. All right.
Happy birthday, Mr. Marsalis. They named a sauce after him.
Well, they did. I've met him twice. Anyway, here we go.
Why can't I think of the name of the person that did this song?
It's someone that's in the movie, not the person who did the song.
But who did the song? Now that's going to bug me all night.
Is it Jerry Goldsmith?
Who's the composer?
Or is it...
No, who's the composer of this song?
Is it John Williams?
Song? Yes, John Williams. Okay. So it wasn't John Williams. So it was somebody in the movie.
Yes.
Female. Chewbacca.
Female.
Chewbacca.
Female.
Jabba the Hutt.
Smoker.
Say what?
Female smoker.
Carrie Fisher.
Yes. Carrie Fisher. Happy birthday. She turned 55.
Well.
So. And the next one, I should hope that you will get, but we'll see.
It's The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson.
So, would you be guessing Johnny Carson?
Unless you're going to do another trumpet thing, and it would be Doc Severinsen, but I'm guessing Johnny Carson.
All right.
And now, here's Johnny!
You would be correct, sir. Johnny Carson is dead, but he would have been 86.
Well, there you go.
So happy birthday, Mr. Carson.
Happy birthday, Mr. Carson, in hell.
And here is our... How do you know he's in hell?
Because I'm an atheist.
Have you been there?
Yes, I have.
So here's our last
one. I've lived here for 3 years.
Right. Here's our last one.
Wheel of Fortune!
I'm going to say Vanna White.
Man, you had a 50-50 shot there.
I know, I did.
You got it wrong. It's Pat Sajak. Pat Sajak turned 64.
Wow.
So, and I don't know how long they've been doing that show, but it's 20-something years, I bet.
20-something years too long.
It's another one of those old people shows.
It is. I'd like to solve now. It's Matlock.
Because
Matlock is the answer to everything old.
And now it's time for Daniel's favorite part of the show.
Yay!
3, 2, 1!
Contact is the secret, is the moment. When everything happens, contact is the answer, is the reason that everything happens, contact.
You know, did we get a lot of emails?
I didn't see any emails.
Okay, because I was going to say, otherwise the contact at Doobies and 10 Plus wasn't working because I didn't get any emails.
No, I didn't get any emails. Yeah. Well, the one email, I did get one email, but it was a voicemail, I think.
Okay.
So right. I'm going to go ahead and play that one. And I believe, I haven't listened to it, but the email was from Kathy Bacon. So unless she recorded something for someone else.
Well, you'll remember on the last show, Stephen from Wisconsin gave her instructions on how to record using her iPod.
Well, she sent us an M4A file called memo.m4a. That's right.
So she must have been able to successfully press the black button that turned into two-bar black button before the green button, and then you held your hand sideways and spit.
I guess she was. So let's hear what she had to say.
Hi, Stephen. This is Kathy Bacon. And first of all, I wanted to say thank you.
She's
and
not
then
even
I wanted
talking
to let
to
you know
us.
That you did not leave a pizza order. But I also wanted to let you know that I am using an iPod Touch and my cellular telephonic device is the BlackBerry. Uh-huh. So I am able to use this. And I did send Big Fatty a message like this once.
Who?
I guess it was really clear. I guess my restriction would be that, you know, it is using the wireless internet here at home, and so I would have to create the messages as I'm driving down the street and then come home and send them to people, and chances are I probably wouldn't.
Some kind of alarm is going off in the background.
So anyway, that's that. Thank you very much. You're precious, and I hope you're over your bugs.
Pause it.
Post some pictures of your scarves you make. That would be lovely.
There's one issue. I can't pause on this app. I can only start over.
Oh, well, then I don't want to. Did you hear that? That was because it kind of sounded noisy in the background at first, and then it went into. She was running the microwave while she. So I wonder what she was cooking in her microwave. Because, you know, that wasn't a voicemail for us. It was for Steven.
Maybe it was a baked potato.
It could have been. Could have been a baked potato, or it could have been pizza rolls. Could have been a frozen burrito.
It would be fitting if it was a slice of cold pizza that she had ordered from us previously
that had been delivered.
Had she ordered a pizza?
I don't think she had.
So she's telling everyone that she wants them to order pizzas, and she has not herself ordered a pizza.
Right, because she's giving away the prize. So, you know, then if she won the prize, then it would be, you know, then people would accuse her of.
Oh, and wait, she supplied the prize money, so then it would be.
So she can't win it.
It would be her own money just going back to her.
Right, minus a small handling fee that Big Fatty charges, I'm sure. Anyway, so thank you, Miss Kathy, for calling and leaving that lovely message to Stephen.
Well, other than the microwave noise in the background, that was a much clearer audio quality.
Oh, it was.
It
sounded pristine.
Yeah, and so I'm killing time now because I have to sign in to... That was on a soundboard. These other ones are on.
I think I still have the sign in on my Explorer. Do you want me to play them?
Well, I'm signing in now. I guess it's whoever can get there first. But
I won't do it.
And you know, I don't know if we've gotten any other ones or not. But let's see.
I don't say. Well, if we'd gotten an email, it would have come to us. But I know that someone, and I'm not going to mention their name, George in Atlanta, is, you know, posted on Google Plus something for us.
Okay, so when did we record?
We recorded back in 1975, I'm pretty sure.
Did I say when did we recorded?
Yes.
When did we record?
It's another case of that spell check didn't catch up there.
What was the date of our recording?
I don't know. It was last week sometime.
Did we end with Country West?
Yes, we did.
Okay, well, I think this is a new one.
All right.
It's buffering.
Oh.
Hey, this is Brother Stannis, and I'm calling in a pizza order for delivery to the cloister at St. Delia. We want
cloister?
An extra large with pepperoni, an extra inch, please. And we would like 3 quarts of mead. And when you deliver it, please send the cute little choir boy to deliver it. Brother Jerome wants to give him some singing lessons. Talk to you later. Bye.
Jerome. You know, my co-host on Walkahol is dating someone named Jerome. I wonder if that's the same person. Yeah, Mead. I guess it's going to the cloister, which I'm assuming is what you call a grouping of nuns. Oh, look, it's a cloister of nuns.
It's a cloister of nuns, a gaggle of geese.
And a spangle of elvi.
Well, thank you for the call, brother.
That's Brother Schnatus. Yes.
We appreciate it. Okay, yes. Our next one. Transcript is unavailable.
Oh, it's like say anything.
Wait for it.
Yes.
Oh, there is no message.
Oh, it was a hang up.
Someone had a fail.
Someone became so nervous to speak to us.
But they tried again.
Okay, good.
So here's their second attempt, and I better turn it down. I know who it is.
Yes, this is your Aunt Tom Vera, and I was just calling. I don't listen to your little show, but just calling because I'm a little confused. I was listening to that alcoholic little show with that Gene Bees. Uh-huh. And I heard the Dubious Intent Male song, the lasers and everything, and I thought, I thought,
why the hell was he listening to alcohol?
I do have a pause on this app, actually.
Why the hell was Fatty listening to alcohol? That's what I want to know.
He listens to Wowcohol, but he doesn't listen to DI Plus.
Why would he be listening to Wowcohol? Because our voicemail segment was near the end. So it's like he would have had to go through a lot of World of Warcraft material just to get there.
Does he listen to all the podcasts to see if he's mentioned so that he can cut them up and put them in his show?
I think he has some kind of algorithm.
Oh, come on. Listen
scans
to his,
through
listen
the internet.
To his, listen to his audio. Do you really think that he has an algorithm?
Well, that's why his sound quality is so bad, is because all the computing power is being used for that massive algorithm.
It must be.
But I didn't hear Adam, and I just wanted to say how sorry I am that you replaced Adam. He was lovely, and but he's probably in the gymnasium because it's only $15 a day, and you get a robe and fruit. And anyway, thank you for calling. Bye-bye now. How do you hang that damn thing up?
Myron.
Oh, well, thank you for the call, Big Fatty, or Auntie Vera.
No, that was Anti-Vera.
Oh, Anti-Vera. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Right. I didn't know if he was trying to impersonate or...
Right.
Well,
you know, that's about right. $15 a day to go to the gym. So that's about $5,500 a year. That's about
right. Well, you know what he was referring to, right?
Yes, I know what he was referring to.
Anyway.
He was referring to the very first time that you and Wes Stone met in Vegas that you keep not wanting to talk about.
So, I don't know what you're talking
about. Hi there. I'm Bob. It's very dark in here. Let me shake your hand.
I do not know what you're talking about. And, you know, Wes Stone does like bananas, however. I will say that. He's a big fan.
He likes it when you peel them.
Yeah.
Slowly. Yeah. All right. Fine.
He has this thing he does with his tongue to bananas. I mean, I don't know what it is. But I do have to say, though, speaking of Wes, I have to be Wes here for a moment and say, Mr. Brewer.
Yes?
How dare you?
What did
our
I do?
Sound effect on someone on another one of your little shows. You're supposed to keep your sound effects separate.
You know, I really love that theme song. I used to watch that show as a kid, and I just really love that theme
song.
So
you've ripped it off, so now Wowcohol is using that for
them? No, I used it one time. Wowcohol's not going to continually use it. I used it one time.
I think you should attribute it to where it came from if you're going to use it.
I did. Okay. I did.
Well,
so there. Do we have another voicemail?
That is all.
All right. Well, I would just like to point out that George from Atlanta said on the Google Plus, he said that the unidentified pizza order was from him. He did his best impersonation of a good Southern Christian lady. So, and he likes the tech talk. So he's apparently the one person that doesn't fall asleep. So,
well, you know, just to be fair, we don't know that anyone falls asleep. He's the only one that's actually mentioned the tech talk at all. So does that mean that everyone else fast forwards through it and just don't you know, think it's important enough to comment? Or does it mean that they're
it doesn't fall in? What we should liberally spread the word Big Fatty around inside the tech segment, and then at least Fatty will
his algorithms will pick it up.
That's right. His algorithms will pick it up. It'll be great.
I just want to personally thank everyone for the contact this week. And please, we want more next week.
Yes. Wow.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. I was going to say yes, but then that laser cut me off. But I love the laser, so that's all right.
That's good. That's good.
All right. So there you go. Thanks to everyone that's going to... And have we even figured out what the hell we're going to do? How we're going to figure out who's winning this pizza contest?
No, I mean, we haven't talked about it at all. We didn't even start the contest. So I think Kathy Bacon should really send us some more contact with, like, you know, or with like the rules or like what we're supposed to do.
No, we're supposed to make up the rules.
Well, I think,
so go ahead.
I think she said we were just supposed to draw names out of a hat or something.
Draw names out of a hat. So we have to go back and figure out all the names. Have you been keeping track of all the names?
You did.
Okay, good. Great. And so I'll have to go back and figure out. So when we should probably give a cutoff date, though. So when do they need to get their pizza orders in by?
Let's see. What's today? October 28th.
Yes.
So let's do October 28th, 2015.
2015
would be a really good cut. I mean, we'll still be around then. You know, that'd be a really good cutoff date.
And we'll just have Fatty, you know, put that $20 in an interest-bearing account so that it'll swell up to the massive amount of like $20.13.
They'll be millionaires.
That's right. And you could, when you get the cash prize money, you can get it all in single dollar bills and you can, you know, take a small class on origami and then you can make a fish tank out of it. Dubious Intent is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line, 2x2DI+. That's 229-234-7587. You can also send us an email, contact@dubiousintent.com, or you can find us on Google+. I'm Daniel Brewer. He's Adam Burns.
I think the Google+ is over.
I think Wes Stone is the other one that's leaving it because he's a cranky old man.
I think we're gonna have to move on to Orkut.
We're gonna go to Orkut now. You can find us on Orkut and MySpace.
Daniel J. Brewer at Orkut.
Go back to. That's right. You know, I could probably get Daniel Brewer at MySpace now. That's probably cleared up by now.
Probably.
I'm on CompuServe. I'm 72965,1266.
Catch me on the AIM. Matlock.